Hey everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to Navigating with Zaki Ahmed. On today's episode, I share 25 cups of coffee advice. I think I'm going to call it cups of coffee advice. 25 pieces of advice that I have gotten from people since I left my oil and gas engineering job and as I tried to navigate my way through this next chapter of my life. I'm sharing some of the best advice that I've got and things that have impacted me and resonated with me the most. Bear in mind that it wasn't always followed. I didn't always put into action and implement everything that I was told and advised to do, but hopefully this advice helps other people. And I've had a lot of conversations with people who are in similar situations and positions as me, whether in their mentalities or in their actual career paths. And I hope this brings you some value. I hope it helps you in some way. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you have any. 25 cups of coffee advice that I've gotten in my career progression here. Enjoy. Turn my music high, 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 high. Yeah. You don't know what you're doing. Sure I do. I'm from the streets with a hood to swallow on me. Bullets to follow on me. There's so much sharing. I'm going to be sharing the 25 pieces of advice, or 25 of the pieces of advice that I've gotten from talking to people over coffee. Maybe it was other beverages, but conversations that I've had with business owners, industry leaders, family members, acquaintances, people I really look up to and respect, all kinds of different relationships here. But I'm going to be sharing the advice that I've gotten from them as I kind of went through this journey that I've, or started to go through the journey that I'm currently on since leaving my job in oil and gas in 2018. I've had the privilege of talking to a lot of really good people who know what they're doing and who I, like I said, really look up to. So I want to share some of that value with you guys. I talk to a lot of people who are going through similar things that I'm going through, thinking similar thoughts that I either currently think or did in the past. And I wish I could just stand there and just dump all the advice on them that I've gotten that has been so helpful for me. So I thought, well, absolutely, this needs to be a podcast episode. And hopefully people can get some value from it. I can just tell them, hey, here's where it is. So that's what I'm going to do today. Before I get into it, though, there's a couple things that I really need to talk about. Number one, this is the first time that I am recording at a proper podcast studio. I'm not just recording it on my phone, on my microphone like I used to. I'm sitting at the podcast studio at Work Nicer, 17th Avenue. It's the third floor. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of nice sitting here. I got to say thank you to, first and foremost, for the podcasting, Sean Parker, who's showed me everything. And even like as part of my Work Nicer membership, he helps me edit podcasts and post and all that kind of stuff. It's really awesome resource to have. But the entire Work Nicer team has been really awesome welcoming me in. And it's only been about a week so far, so I'm really looking forward to kind of getting to know the community a little bit better. So if you're listening to this episode through Work Nicer, thank you so much for tuning in. Give me some of your time. I'm going to be talking to you today probably because this is kind of new for me. It's kind of cool. Did you know that Sean Parker is probably the only guaranteed listener that I have so far on my podcast? Like, I know of people who listen to this podcast, but I've never like recorded an episode knowing that a certain individual is going to hear what I say. It's kind of interesting. So I have some ideas in the cooker here, but hey Sean, how you doing? Hope you're having a good day. A couple things I want to share. Here I go. I'm droning on already. But I listened for one of the first times, probably listened to one of my episodes, one of my recordings, I think over the last like 4 or 5 days. And I was like, oh man, like I really need to listen to more of my own stuff because my voice kind of sounded like very like monotonous. And I started to get very like, oh, is this guy must be depressed. There's not a lot of inflection in his words. He speaks very flatly. And I was like, man, like that doesn't really reflect how I was feeling. Why isn't my emotion coming out in my voice more? But I suppose that's what comes with recording the way I do and having the mentality, the mindset that I do when I record. To be honest, I don't really like lean into my emotions that much. At least I haven't so far. So I'm going to try that today. I'm going to try to see how that goes. So bear with me. This is going to be interesting for me too. I want to share a story, something that happened to me over the weekend. And this is just kind of a fun anecdote. And I wanted to just start throwing in anecdotes in my episodes too, because let's just talk and then you can get to know me a little better and what I think about and all that kind of stuff. Hey, we can chat about this kind of stuff. So this, I went out to Sentara. Like there's a Sentara near my place, my condo. I went for a walk yesterday, Sunday, NFL divisional weekend, which is, by the way, my favorite weekend of football all year. And yes, and that includes the Super Bowl. Anyways, I went out for a walk just to get some groceries and stuff. And when I went, I got to Sentara, there was a guy sitting out front on the ground. He had his coat on. He had his hood on. He was like, it was almost as if he was sleeping. Like he was looking down and he had a sign on his lap and I couldn't quite read the sign, but I know that the bottom of it said, anything helps, God bless. So I just kind of walked in and then I kind of like thought to myself, well, wait a second. So I went back and I said, excuse me, like, how can I help you? Or like, what is it that you would really like? I kind of like to just ask people like sometimes when they're like asking for some help, I say, well, what helps? Like, can I get you some food? Do you want a coffee? Like, is it change? Like, what's up? So this guy kind of looked confused and it's kind of hard to paint this picture, but I'll try to paint this picture. He had like kind of a confused look on his face. I don't know if he was actually sleeping. He looked like he wasn't thrilled, to be sitting there. I mean, as I say that, that's kind of silly. I don't know who's thrilled to be sitting in that position. But anyways, when I asked him, he said, no, I have food in my bag. That's okay. And then he kind of mumbled like, I basically just spare change. And I went to the grocery store with plastic, so I didn't have any change. And I said, hey, man, I'll see what I can, like, if I can grab change from inside. And then I went in, couldn't get change, went back. I said, hey, sorry, I couldn't get change. Hope you have a good day. And kind of smiled and like moved on. But it kind of got me thinking, like, what was my mindset? Like, what happened to me when I saw that guy sitting there? And why did I handle that situation the way I did? And the reason I say that is mostly because I kind of wondered as I walked away, like, did I feel less inclined to help this person or give him something, offer him something, whatever, because of the way that he looked? And the way that he looked was clean clothes, nice jacket, warm, like gloves, toque, all that kind of stuff. The bag that he had with him appeared to be full and it was a nice bag. It wasn't like, oh my God, designer brand, but like, it was not beat up. It was not dirty. He did not look dirty or disheveled at all. But it just kind of made me wonder, like, do people feel less inclined to help or more inclined to help when they, like, based on the appearance of that, like, homeless person or that person who's reaching out to them for help? I kind of think that the answer is yes. And it's not anything to be ashamed of or anything. I think it's just kind of human nature. But I just found it kind of interesting how it, like, struck and raised emotions in me. And I just wanted to bring it up somewhere. I kind of wanted to like make a YouTube video or something about it. So I might still, but, anyways, I just wanted to, share that really quick. And that makes me think I should be recording the video and I'm not. So here we go with the video. How's it going so far there, Sean? What do you think? Is this going well? Oh, right. Yeah, he's not here. He's not here. He can't interact with me. Yeah. Sean, if you're listening, if we can add crickets into that part, that would be so cool. That would, I think, sound really funny if there was crickets in that silence, just even for a little bit. Or let's just chop it out, because you know what, guys? I didn't ask Sean if he could do sound effects. That was not part of our conversation before. I just kind of thought of that after the fact. So I don't mean to put you on the spot here, man. Just chop it out. Okay, let's get into this. 25 pieces of coffee advice. 25 cups of coffee advice that I have gotten since leaving my job. And to put this in context, when I left my job, I would sit down with people and I would say, I left because I was unhappy. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go next. And so I'm going to share this advice that I received in chronologic order, because it kind of evolves as I was presenting myself to the people that I was talking to. I'm going to share their names with you. I'll try to be quick because there's 25 of them and it's a lot. So brief bios, you might recognize some names, you may not. As I said before, some of them are business owners. Some of them are friends and acquaintances, families, whatever it is. So here we go. Great. I just lost the lights in the podcast studio. That's fun. Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on. Not sure how to fix that one yet. So anyways, there's some more silence we can chop, Sean. Okay, number one. The first piece of advice that I got was from Amir Karim. He's the president, CEO of Polycar Plastics. It's a manufacturer based out of Montreal. He is also my cousin. But he said to me, get a business card. Just put your name on it. Put your phone number, put your email address, and that's it. As you meet people, you will look more professional. You will look a certain way if you have a business card. Even if it's just your name and your contact information, get a business card. So by the way, I did print a business card. It says my name. It says mechanical engineer. It has my phone number on it. And on the back, I put what looks like an old school, like 8.5 by 11, like piece of notepaper, and it says my impressions of Zaki, and it's like an invitation for people to write on it. The other thing he said was visit one business every week. He comes from the belief that buying a business is like buying a house, and that if you visit enough, you'll know when you walk into the right place. Obviously you have to do your due diligence, but the advice came from a perspective of, well, you want to be an entrepreneur now, you want to be a business owner now, you need to start visiting businesses and seeing what kind of resonates with you. So that was awesome advice. Before I left, like I think it was the second last day of my job, I had coffee with Scott Saxberg. So he's the CEO at the time, the president CEO of Crescent Point Energy. And advice point number two Scott gave me is, don't think about the downtimes in your life. Don't even blink. It happens to everyone. So just keep going. And this was in the context of me saying, you know, I feel like I've really like taken a turn for the worse recently. And, you know, things aren't really going well. So he said, don't even think about it. It happens to everybody. He then, by the way, also suggested I read the book Dear Calgary, which fails me right now, but the Calgary Business Organization, I can't remember what it's called, put out. So Dear Calgary, really good book. I read it and had some awesome advice in it. He's in it as well, by the way. Number three, a conversation that I had with my dad. He said, every day you get smarter or you get dumber. You go up or you go down. There's no maintaining. So you make your choice. Do you want to get smarter today or you want to get dumber today? Keep your mind engaged. Remember that your premium starts dropping today and that your mind and your body adapts every single day. So make your choice. Having coffees with people is great, but think about what comes after that. And I'll be honest with you guys, as I share this advice, I'm not going to pretend that I followed everything, that I implemented everything, and that I effectively managed all of this advice. So just full disclosure, I'm just sharing the advice here, okay? Not how I fucking rocked all this. So that was number three. Okay, number four. Back to Amir Kareem. He was back in town, and we met again, and he reinforced his point to a certain extent, but he said to me, point number four, stay disciplined. Leave your house at 9 a.m. and return at 5 p.m. every day. If you don't have enough to do, you didn't plan well enough. So there's always enough to do. And for someone like me, he knew exactly what I was doing. He knew that I didn't have a plan, I didn't have a job, blah, 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 blah. But he knew you have 8 hours of work to do every day still. So number five, same person. I said, I don't really know how to run a business. He said, it doesn't matter. If you buy one, you'll figure it out. And I think this is something that you see often on social media about like learning and all that kind of stuff. Like nobody is fully prepared. There's a lot of different interpretations or like different ways that this point is presented, but it is, you'll figure it out. So don't be scared if you don't know right now how to do it. You'll figure it out. Number six, I met with Dave Kondich and John Taylor of Tridyne Projects. That is a engineering consulting company in Calgary. And it's quite simple what they said. Find a problem and solve it. And these are not the first guys to say this. Let's not pretend. This is very common advice, especially for entrepreneurs. It's about solving a problem. Don't just think that you can bring a product to market or whatever and just sell it because you love it and you invented it, whatever. Find a problem and solve it. Number seven, Keenan Jang. He was a geologist that I worked with. And I don't really know, to be honest, how to give this guy's background, so I'm not going to try. But super smart guy, very intelligent, very thoughtful, and very experienced. I had coffee with him. This is now about 6 weeks after I had left my job. And he brings us point number seven here. It's broken into three, so I'm kind of cheating here. But 7A, what is your objective? Do you want to make money or do you want to have an impact? And those were the two options that he presented. But the point is, think about what your objective is. What are you trying to do? 7B, be mindful of your inner circle. Be mindful of your inner circle, the people who are around you and closest to you. And he advised me to have people who can pick me up again when I fall, because that's bound to happen. 7C, mentorship is a two-way road. Your mentors need to know that you are worth investing in. Because a lot of people, and not because, but a lot of people see mentorship as a one-way road. They say like, you know, I'm going to reach out to this person. I'm going to get some advice. I'd love to hear your thoughts on XYZ. But you have to prove that you are worth them even giving you their advice. And this is a fascinating point that I hadn't really considered, that, you know what, this person is deciding to spend their time with me, not only during this conversation, but they've decided to offer their advice to me. They've decided to take an interest in my situation. And that means their time and their attention. And as much as you say thank you, and as much as I did, how do you prove to them that you are worth them spending that time and attention on you? So it was a thought. And I just wanted to put it out there. I don't need to try to... I don't want to share too much about where I went with that, but pretty interesting. Number eight, I had coffee with Faisal Jaffer. He said, these coffees are just your gym membership. You now have to go do the work. And he hit the nail on the head. This is about 2 months now after I had quit. He knew what I was doing. He knew that I hadn't quite found a direction and a footing and all that kind of stuff. But I found that super interesting, and it really resonated with me because I felt at that point like I was really making progress. I was doing like some really good things and all that. But these coffees are just your gym membership. You have to go do the work now. And similar to what my dad told me, in that, you know, what is your plan? These coffees are great, but then you have to be able to take the next step after that. So what's your plan? So Faisal, by the way, also mentioned regret minimization, which was presented by Jeff Bezos. I think it was in a Medium article. I think, don't quote me on that, but regret minimization, really relevant concept as well. But I'm not going to talk too much about it. Number nine. This is from having coffee with a good friend of mine who's a lawyer, but honestly, one of the smartest people I know, Irfan Thorani. He said, think about what your philosophy is and find others who have a similar one. And I'm paraphrasing this one, but basically I was kind of saying to him, you know, I think I see the world differently than other people do. I think differently than other people do. I'm finding it difficult to find a place for that. I'm finding it difficult to navigate what to do with those thoughts, feelings, whatever, perspectives. And he said, you can't be the only person who has these philosophies. Whatever your philosophy is, there's 7 billion people in the world. You can't be the only person who has this philosophy. So find other people who have a similar one. Water break. You could probably hear everything. I'm wearing the headphones for the first time and listening to myself. Like, you know, these microphones, man, I gotta tell you, pick up fucking everything. God damn it. I lost the lights again. If you're watching this on YouTube, it probably looks really funny. And hey, Sean, I'm giving you lots of points to try to edit out as I go turn the lights back on. Gotta figure that one out too. Okay. There we go. All right, much better. Okay, so number 10. This is from a coffee I had with somebody named Ashif Govindji. And he's somebody I volunteered with and then and I've stayed in touch with. He said to me, losses can help you. And this sounds kind of dumb intuitive if you pay attention to advice. Losses can help you. But he told me the story about a business deal that he was working on. He really like pursued it hard, ended up losing it because for whatever reason, the deal didn't go through. But he told me that story because he said it made him hungry. It made him hungry. So don't see your losses as losses. And I quote Jay-Z here. It's on my Instagram, but a loss ain't a loss, it's a lesson. Appreciate the pain, it's a blessing. That's Jay-Z. And it's similar context here, so I just wanted to throw it in. I'll throw Jay-Z into as many places as I can. But it's all about perspective. I think that's another thing here, is you probably heard this a million times. Again, I'm not trying to present anything brand new here, and I don't think Ashif was really thinking he was presenting anything brand new to me, but it was just something that resonated with me, the story that he shared. So don't just get discouraged by your losses. If it makes you hungry, embrace the hunger. Go fucking get it. Number 11, coffee with Ali Jadhavji, who, by the way, now runs the Kinetic YYC, which is a food delivery service. He's taken interest in food. He loves cooking and all that kind of stuff. He said, I do what makes me happy and that works for me. And at the time, so 2.5 months now after I was jobless, I didn't really know what it meant to accept doing what makes you happy. Like, I didn't think about that concept. You can actually just do what works for you. Like, you can actually do what just makes you happy and that's okay. And he didn't necessarily mean it from the context of like the job that you perform. He meant it in like life. He lives his life in a way that makes him happy, which I think is extremely important, by the way. And I admire that. But yeah, again, today I will tell you, I believe in this and it's the best thing ever. And I intend to pursue ways to monetize that type of mentality. But at the time, it was new for me. So a little bit of context in like how I was thinking, and also just, I hope that helps you do what makes you happy. By the way, he's the one who recommended Shoe Dog to me, and that's now my favorite book. So check that one out. 12, Raz Hussein, who's a good friend, an acquaintance, a mentor, volunteered with him. He runs a business in downtown Calgary, and he is extremely smart. He's into his stocks and all that kind of stuff. So he had several pieces of advice for me. So I'm going to break this one down again. 12A, don't be impatient. Too many kids quit after 6 months. Don't be impatient. 12B, don't categorize people too much. Remember that no two people are the same. So I took this to mean there's a lot of like compartmentalizing that happens, especially when you interact with other people. Like, oh, this person's an extrovert. This person's an introvert. This person is a people connector. This person is a emotional speaker, whatever. But remember that no two people are the same. So don't categorize too much. 12C, keep your mind sharp. It's amazing what your mind can do. We all get very comfortable living inside the box, but when you set it free, it can also be very creative. Once you understand how to listen to your mind, the possibilities are endless. And I paraphrase, I don't remember the exact words there, but these are some from the notes that I wrote in my journal afterwards. So again, paraphrasing. Number 13, coffee with someone by the name of Salim Merchant. He's an architect and he runs his own business. He said, just practice. At the time, I was looking into land development and I was interested in learning more about it. And he said, you know what? Just practice running numbers. Just find scenarios and run numbers. Figure out what you can, do the economics, and create scenarios. And it's good practice for you. Kind of sounds intuitive, because if you want to make a basketball team, you go and you practice your jump shot, you work on your dribbling, all that kind of stuff. But hey, like, I hadn't really thought of the idea that you could practice other things too, including this. Practice doing what you ultimately want to be doing. And I can't remember who it was, like if this is like a specific person that said this, but I read somewhere, first you have to do what you do for free in order to get paid for doing it, or something like that. It was along those lines, but I think this is a similar concept. Number 14, coffee with Keenan again. This is now about three months after the job. He said, remember that what you're doing comes with an opportunity cost as well. And he used the term opportunity cost. I remember that specifically. What that means is you're going to have to pass up opportunities as you go. So understand that as much as you may be choosing what you pursue, you also have to choose what you don't pursue. And that's the cost of what you're doing. That's not a good end to the sentence. You're playing the long game, so don't get discouraged by the small things. Number 15 was sitting with Shaista, my wife, and Kiever Tremblay, who is, I think, pretty well known in the entrepreneur community in Calgary. He said, quite simply, just do it. Just start. Start small. Just start somewhere. It doesn't matter. And this was reinforced, I have to say, by a conversation I had with Alex, who works at the ATB Entrepreneurial Center on 17th Ave. She said she found that it was the people who just jumped in and who did it that were often more successful than the people who were calculated and actually had a plan. So again, like, very simple, fairly, like, I don't know about routine, but this is not the first time you've heard this. Just do it. But for me to hear that from someone who had done it was impactful. And it was really great to hear. Just start small, start somewhere, just do something. Number 16, talking to my father again, you can't go with the flow if you aren't in the water. So get in the water. I paraphrase, but 4 months now later into this journey and this process, and I was still kind of bouncing around. I was really floating and didn't have a lot of direction. I had done like a big project within that time, but he said basically like, it's great that you're trying to just like go with it, but you can't go with anything if you're on the sidelines and if you're watching. And guys, I was on the sidelines. I was watching, I was afraid. I still didn't know. I was afraid to pick a direction for fear of going the wrong direction. So that was my journey at that point. I was very hesitant. So that was why that resonated with me. Number 17, Jerry Kwan, who runs a engineering consulting company in Calgary, he said, interestingly, you know, not everyone in the business actually pays attention to their business. Like, not everyone pays attention to their bottom line. Are you aware that not all business owners are actually good business owners? And again, this may be something that's obvious to a lot of people, because, and as I think about it after the fact, you put any group of people into any situation where they have metrics, like performance metrics, some people are going to perform better than others. And relatively speaking, you're going to have some people who are not good at what they do. And I was kind of like, oh yeah, concept. Like, it's kind of stupid to say, but that was something that resonated with me. Number 18, Alim Danani, who runs a lamb development business in Calgary. He said to me, what is your value proposition? What is it that you bring to the table? Have you considered, have you thought about this? And are you sure about this? Don't let people wonder how to use you. Tell them how to use you. Lights down. Okay. One more time, I think. It's kind of comedic for people who may be watching this on YouTube. But, number 19, Andrew Brown with Startup YYC. I had a coffee with him and shared a business idea that I had. And I said, like, you know, I don't really know what to do here. How do I go about doing this? And his advice to me was, talk to people. Be obsessed with your problem, not your product. So for all you business owners with an idea, not business owners, all you entrepreneurs or people who have an idea and want to start a business, this was great advice that I got. Be obsessed with your problem, not your product. So it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. What number was that? Number 6, find a problem and solve it. Number 19, be obsessed with your problem, not your product. So focus on the right thing. Number 20, coffee with Hafiz Mita. He runs Play City app in Calgary. He's an entrepreneur. He said, understand your strengths and be able to surround yourself with people who can fill the gaps. So now we're starting to get into this like self-awareness bit. And it's, I feel like our conversation was awesome because he really spoke to mindsets, not just like the tangible steps that you need to be taking. And this was one of the great things that I remember that he said and really resonated with me. Understand your strengths and be able to surround yourself with people who can fill the gaps. So understand what you're bad at, basically. Find the people who are good at what you're bad at. A couple other things that he said that I'll just share. The highs are high and the lows are low. And that was one of the first times that I had really heard that. He said, just keep hustling. You just got to keep hustling. Like, get up every morning and hustle. The biggest limiting factor, in his opinion, was focusing on too many things. So don't focus on too many things. And by the way, that is a problem for me because I have fucking 17 ideas and I want to do 10 of them. Number 21, Kenyan again. You only think you're a certain way because people see you that way. It's okay to still be finding yourself as long as you're putting in effort. 1 year is not a long time. So this coffee happened 1 year after the fact. And I thought that was tremendous advice that he gave me. You're playing the long game here, so don't get distracted by the short stuff. He knows that I'm super hard on myself. And he said, that's okay because you have high standards and that's good. Just don't beat yourself up about it. So you have to be good to yourself, take care of yourself. I'll kind of share a similar thought. I heard it on Alex Beeden's podcast. And if you don't know who Alex Beeden is, she's the Instagram story queen. So find her on Instagram at Alex Beeden. She lives in Tampa, Florida. She posts, she helps business owners, she helps entrepreneurs to create Instagram stories and content for their business pages. She had a guest on her show, and forgive me, I can't remember who the guest was, but the message was, I think it was Jamie somebody. I might have to look this up. Sorry. So the advice was, think about self-care as think about loving yourself as taking care of tomorrow's you. So make it easier, make life easier for tomorrow, the tomorrow version of yourself. And you can do that by, you know, preparing for things, getting yourself set up for things for tomorrow. And that was really an interesting perspective, I thought, on self-care and self-love. Number 22, I had coffee again with Scott Saxberg. So now we're 14 months down the road. He said, everyone wants to go to the moon. Everyone wants to go to the moon. Just get to the end of the driveway first, then get to the end of the block, and then get to the next street, and then get to the next city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone wants to go to the moon. And I was like, oh, crap. I want to go to the moon because I am that kind of thinker. I get lost in the big picture of things. I get lost in the five-year plan of things. And I always want to go to the moon. And then the next day when I wake up and I'm not there, or something along those lines where I'm not closer to that goal, I'm not walking to the rocket ship, he said, just get to the end of the driveway first. Another thing that he said in that conversation that I'll just throw in, he said, you must learn your craft. So learn your craft. Just because you did economics at this job, it doesn't mean that you can just walk into the next one and think that, well, you did economics before. I'm just going to do it. No, it might just be different in that new industry, in that new place, in that new role, whatever. Learn your craft. Number 23, coffee with Trent Stengel, who was an executive at Crescent Point as well and got to know. He said, quite simply, listen to your gut. Listen to your gut. Know yourself and what makes you tick. I thought this was fantastically simple advice. You can't only do things you enjoy, and it's okay to do things that you don't enjoy, especially if it's a means to an end. He noted that he doesn't have one goal. He doesn't have one single goal. He's just trying to engage with what he's doing, learn, and enjoy. And I thought that was wonderfully simple. I am an overthinker, and I really know how to complicate things. And from a lot of my conversations, I wouldn't describe everyone or most people as overthinkers, but I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people really think about this idea of just know yourself, listen to your gut, trust yourself. And I know I kind of said this in similar ways before, but I wanted to keep this as number 23 because I thought it was wonderfully simple. Number 24, Shoki Kanji, who works in the industry. He's had executive level positions. I apologize, I can't remember which company he's with right now. But he said to me, and by the way, he's been a mentor to me for, you know, 15 years, I think. He was one of the first people to like pick me out and appoint me to a brand new like position. He basically wanted like a guinea pig for something. And that's how I really got to know him really well. So he said to me, luck will follow you, but you need to make it yourself. So a lot of people think that luck is part of the equation, and I agree that it is. But his message was, you have to put out more to get lucky. It doesn't just happen. It'll follow you. It'll happen if you're putting out enough. So again, this is not something that I heard for the first time, or that I think I'm going to be saying to people for the first time, as in that they'll be hearing it for the first time, but worth saying, number 24. Number 25, I will put in context, it is not coffee advice that I got. Number 25, I'm going to end with quoting Dave Chappelle's mother. And if you watched the Dave Chappelle special Mark Twain Prize program, I think it was on TV 5 days ago, so first week of January 2020, you have already heard this. But I was just so blown away by this that I was going to say at the beginning of the podcast, and then I thought, no, what better way to end this list? Dave Chappelle, in his short acceptance speech at the end of the program, thanked his mother. And he said, you know, you don't know what I put this woman through. She had clearly done a lot for him, supported him with his comedic career and all that. And then he said something that she had said to him as he was growing up. She said, son, sometimes you have to be a lion so you can be the lamb you really are. I'll say it again. Sometimes you have to be a lion so you can be the lamb you really are. And it gets me emotional even just saying that, because I really feel like I'm a lamb. And I have found it really difficult to find my place in a lot of different ways as an introvert, whatever the situation may be. So that one really struck me, and it's tough for me to even like put it into words. So maybe I just won't say too much about that. Maybe that's a better plan. I didn't really think about what I was going to say. So that is those are the 25 cups of coffee advice that I have, that I got since I left my job, in 2018. I think that they have been really helpful for me finding my way, over the past almost 2 years now. And I hope it helps you in some way. I hope it provides value for people who are in similar positions, considering career moves and changes, who are struggling with where they are in their current jobs, in their current lifestyles and lives, whatever it may be. I hope this has helped you. If it has, I would love to hear from you. Hit me up. I'm on socials, as you know, at Zaki Ahmad, ZAKKEEAHMAD, Twitter, Instagram, email me, zakiahmad@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much. If you're still listening, obviously you've listened through. If your name is not Sean Parker, I guess you chose to. So thank you so much for that. Hey, shout out to this really awesome podcast studio, Work Nicer on 17th Ave in Calgary. It's been a great experience, and I'm kind of excited to hear this recording in high quality. That's Navigating with Zaki Ahmad. Thanks again, guys. Okay, so that was the main episode.